This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional. We will have a dedicated prayer session and music from Resonance.
Stay with us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope. We are excited to be here and waking up with you.
We absolutely are. We are so happy that on this bright Tuesday morning, we hope to bless you today through our program. And we pray that you had a relaxing Labor Day weekend.
Yes, you know, we're officially celebrating the International Day of Charity.
Oh.
That's right. It's a day dedicated to encouraging people everywhere to give to a good cause for the benefit of others.
That's right. And, you know, we want to take this time to encourage you always to be a blessing and give to others whenever you're able. So, who can you be a blessing to today, friends?
That's a great question. You know, it could simply be sharing a promise from the Bible with someone else, helping someone who needs clothes or food, or even a ride to work.
That's
People
right.
People appreciate that.
That's right. They really do. And as it says in Acts 20, verse 35, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
That's right. You know, to give is always a blessing. So friends, this morning, let's begin our program by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On September 5, 2006, Katie Couric made headlines and TV history with her highly publicized debut as the first female solo anchor of a weekday network evening news broadcast, CBS Evening News with Katie Couric. Couric, who served as co-anchor of the Today Show from 1991 to 2006, replaced Dan Rather, who anchored CBS Evening News from 1981 until his retirement on March 9 of 2005, in the aftermath of a controversial story about the military record of President George W. Bush. Before then, Barbara Walters was the first woman to co-anchor the network evening news when she was paired up with Harry Reasoner on the ABC Evening News from 1976 to 1978. Couric made an astounding statement on the importance of determination and not giving up on your hopes and dreams.
Do you have hopes and dreams? You know, the idea of following your dreams aligns with the concept of using the talents and opportunities that God has given you to fulfill your purpose. You know, the Bible encourages believers to diligently pursue their passions and aspirations while seeking God's guidance. Psalms 37 verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, this verse emphasizes that when we find joy in God and align our desires with his will, he guides us towards achieving our dreams.
That's right. However, it's important to approach dreams with a humble heart, friends, recognizing that our plans should be in alignment with God's greater purpose.
That's right.
I love it when Proverbs 16, verse 3 advises us, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans.
Amen, amen. And today we encourage you to seek God's guidance and entrust your hopes and dreams to him. You know, ask him to lead you in every step. And with him leading, you can never be wrong.
That's right. Amen. Well, we have a special recipe for you today, friends, from Ready, Set, Cook. As fall approaches, they have a delicious and healthy bitter gourd salad recipe to share with us. It's now time for music from Resonance. They sing, Let's Take This Road.
Together, let's take this road together.
This morning, we want to take hold of the wonderful gift of prayer and pray together. The Let's Pray team is here to lead us out in a special prayer session.
Hello, hello. I don't know if it's good morning, good afternoon, or good evening where you are, but wherever you are, it is time for us to pray. So my name is Susan Cromwell. I'm one of two hosts here on Hope Channel's Let's Pray, and I'm glad to be with you today. I really would love to pray about the topic of finances, stewardship, really, which is much more than just finances. But as we approach our tax season here in the United States and receive so many requests on Let's Pray for finances and financial blessing and stewardship and discipline, I just think it's a wonderful topic to cover right now for many of us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for another chance to come before you, Jesus, as a community, Lord. None of us above the other, all shoulder to shoulder at the foot of the cross, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you have mercy and kindness, as well as correction and discipline for your children that you love. And Lord, I don't know if folks listening and praying right now are sitting in wisdom and financial blessing in the name of Jesus, that they might be able to bless the community around them. Or Lord, whether there is a lot of distress or shame even over finances and stewardship and walking in wisdom and the things that you have given us, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I know that there are as many stories and situations as there are faces represented here, Lord. So wherever this community individually or collectively finds itself, Father, I'm grateful, Lord, that we also find ourselves in your family. That, Lord, if we are making poor choices or we've been treated unfairly regarding our finances, Heavenly Father, you are there. You're never going to leave us or forsake us. You're never going to abandon us because we have lessons to learn, because we're struggling through something. And Lord, I thank you that there are many who are walking in wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you would not only help them to walk even more in wisdom, Jesus, and to grow in their ability to steward not only finances, but the other things that you have given them, Lord. We're all growing. But Lord, I ask that they would not shy away from those who might need help or wisdom or advice or good counsel or just someone to not pull away from them when they figure out that they're struggling with handling their finances wisely. Jesus, we all need your mercy and your grace. And so I ask, Lord, that not only would you pour out the storehouses of heaven upon this community, Lord, that you would guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would teach us, Heavenly Father, but Lord, that you would also heal the wounds that come from the shame when it comes to finances, Lord, when it comes to mistakes, when it comes to the pressure of a family being reliant upon the finances that might not be coming in right now, Lord. And there's so much in this area, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we really do need your divine inspiration, your divine blueprints or strategy and wisdom in our individual circumstances, Father, because money is difficult sometimes, Lord. And money is such a blessing, Father. Help us to keep it in proper perspective, to not love money, Lord, but to love people and to utilize money to bless. Heavenly Father, to love the family, the relationships, the jobs, the lives, to walk in gratitude, Heavenly Father, and to make the money work for their benefit, for our benefit, for your kingdom's benefit, Heavenly Father. I just ask for proper order in our finances in the name of Jesus, your divine order and perspective. And I thank you, Lord, that you are healing, recovering, and restoring our finances. In the name of Jesus, amen. I pray that you're blessed today and that you go in peace. In the name of Jesus, bye.
If you're finding today's program worthwhile, friends, don't keep it to yourself. Share us with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
And check us out on our YouTube channel to subscribe and keep up with us. You know, we'll be right back with a devotional from Jesus 101.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We are so thankful you're here with us this morning.
It's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Jesus 101 Ministry.
Hello, everyone. Today, we continue with our series on the Gospel of Luke, and our title is You Are Accepted. Perhaps you remember when you were a little kid that we used to create this paper people chain. Chains. I did many of them when I was a little girl. And here I'm going to make one for you that I was starting before we started the program. It was so good to do these and then put them together and say, hey, they all like each other and they are holding hands and they are living in peace. I mean, we all as kids used to get, you know, such a kick out of this. And not just little girls, we used to make little boys too. And here I'm going to make a little boy for you. And it was so awesome to think that when we grew up, everybody was going to get along, that we were all going to like each other. Here I have some boys for you. And sometimes we said, even girls and boys can get along. Even black and white can get along. Even old and young can get along. Everybody can get along. And then we grew up and we found out that society didn't really work like that. There is a very known social psychologist called Henry Teufel. He's known for his work on the cognitive side of prejudice. And he found out that the us versus them is an actual verifiable human condition. That we all create little groups for any reason, even for the color of our eyes or our taste in art, that we say, no, it's us versus them. Of course, the color of the skin, the accent, many other things can obviously offer us opportunities to do the us versus them mentality. The Gospel of Luke has a message that God accepts us all. And that he wants us all. And that, you know, Luke does something really interesting. He intercalates stories of men and women, you know, men and women. And he does Jews and Gentiles and those who were high status versus those who were low status. Because Jesus came to save all who would accept him. And so we're going to study how the gospel, the good news of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, gives dignity and freedom to everyone, even those that were considered outcast and were not accepted in that society, and that the least, the last, and the lost were accepted by Christ. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 4. It's a very interesting story. It happens in Nazareth, and Nazareth was the town where Jesus grew up. And it didn't have a very good reputation. You know, we can see that in John 1 when Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a little town, and Jesus grew up there. And now, as a grown-up man, and now he was becoming famous, he came back to Nazareth, and he went to the synagogue where he had been many, many times as a child. You know, I had the opportunity to visit Nazareth, and they did a whole village of the way it would have looked at the time of Jesus. If you ever get to go to Nazareth, make sure you go to that village. It's very interesting, different parts of the village. And of course, they have the synagogue, and I'm going to show you a photo of me inside the synagogue that they created for Nazareth. And I'm holding the scroll right there in the little pulpit they have. But Jesus went to Nazareth, and they gave him a scroll to read. And it was the scroll of Isaiah. And Luke chapter 4, verse 17, says that the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And look what he found, verses 18 and 19 of Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. It's interesting because these two verses come from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And they're beautiful verses, how the Messiah would come for the oppressed and to set the oppressed free and to heal the brokenhearted. Those were all people that were on the margins, supposedly, of society, right? But what is interesting here is that when he sits down, it's not because he's done. They used to stand up to read and sit down to teach. So when Jesus sits down, it says that all the eyes are on him because they're waiting for a teaching from Jesus. Don't forget, he is from Nazareth. And so people want to see what he's going to tell them. And he says to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And then he starts speaking, teaching them about himself and his mission. Verse 22, and all were speaking well of him and wondering of the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Everybody's speaking well of him because the content of his teaching is words of grace. And they're all liking this. And they're saying, hey, he finally is here. Maybe this is really the Messiah. He has come for us. But then the teaching continued. And if you continue reading, he starts talking about how God chose a widow outside of Israel from the land of Sidon. And then how there were many lepers in Israel and God chose Naaman the Syrian from the land of Syria. And that's when things got really bad. Because until then, they were speaking well of Jesus. They were speaking well of him because he was talking words of grace. But when he started to show that the scope of his grace was so much bigger than just the people of Israel, they were enraged. So let me read it to you. Verse 25, I say to you, in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months when a great famine came over the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And they were like, what? To Sidon? And then he said the same thing about a leper named Naaman from Syria. And that's when the Bible says they got so enraged that they tried to throw him from the cliff. And there's a big cliff there in Nazareth. And it didn't matter that they were in a church service. It was like, no, it's us versus them, and they should not get this favor of God to be accepted this way. Of course, Jesus was introducing to them the scope of his grace, and they were enraged. He was a God too big for their small minds. Today, God reminds you that he does have this in mind, that his kingdom accepts all. All tribes and people and nations and colors, that you personally are accepted. Perhaps other people have not accepted you. Perhaps you have been marginalized. Jesus came to tear down those walls. Salvation is for all who will accept it, and that includes you. He came to save all, every kindred, every color, everyone. So, if you have lived with the pain of not being accepted because of who you are, may you know today that God accepts you. You are accepted to the point that he saved everyone who will accept him.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Well, friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend or even watch some part of today's program again, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget, friends, to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We will be making a 4-ingredient chocolate mousse pie.
Just 4?
Yeah, that sounds easy and yummy. Yeah. And John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us. Plus, we will have music music and another episode of Masterstroke. We hope you join us.
And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. Check out the website as well. We are sure that you will be blessed.
You know, our program is over for today, but before we go, we want to leave you with the Bible promise. The Bible promise says, "Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God." This is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19. You know, what a beautiful reminder, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful reminder that with true contentment and joy, they come not just from having wealth and possessions, but from having the ability to enjoy them and to be grateful for what we have.
Amen. So friends, count your blessings today, for there are many.
That's right. And you know, we've had a wonderful time today on the program, and we pray that you have truly felt God's love and care for you.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, we are truly thankful for every gift that you pour into our lives. Every good gift comes from you. And today, Lord, we rejoice because one of the most precious gifts that we can carry into our day is hope. Hope that will endure. Hope that will give us courage and strength as we face whatever we face today. So, Lord, we thank you. May your presence remain with us. In Jesus' name, amen.